Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise Pros, Stan the Man, Paul Segretto, Badlands, baby. Franchising today, sustainable growth, the sensible franchising. Franchise today, sustainable growth, the sensible franchising. Franchise today.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto.
Franchise Pros, Stan the Man today.
Oh, gotta love technology, Stan. We gotta love it. I love the way it played over itself a second time, but that's our shortened version as we're still playing around with our opening theme. How are you today, Stan? All right, Stan, you got to get the mute off.
I said, Paul, it was laugh out loud funny. Badlands didn't want to go.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
How you doing, buddy?
Here we are today. It's Wednesday, February 15th. Everyone from franchising, including myself, is coming off the IFA with cold, flu, and all other kinds of symptoms. So it is a good day. Moving forward, Stan, how are you in hot Atlanta?
Doing better than you are, trying to stay healthy. There have been a whole lot of people going home with some bad stuff that left Las Vegas with them. Happy to say I'm steering clear and hopefully will remain that way. But, yeah, it was a great convention, biggest one I can ever remember, Paul.
Yeah, it was a big one, and it was great. And today's guest with us, Dan White, from Centennial, Colorado, Growler USA headquarters, is standing by. Why don't you give us a rundown of what might be going on in the world of franchising, because then I've got a surprise again for you. Just can't make this up, and I'm really biting at the bit to share this.
So if the IFA wasn't big enough, this week, Paul, is International Franchising Week in London, where 40 of the world's national franchise associations from the world over will all come together at the front half of this week. And then as we roll into the back end of the week, the British Franchise Association's International Symposium on Franchising rounds the week out on Thursday and Friday. Aziz Hashim, immediate past chair of the IFA, along with Josh Merrin from the International Affairs Group at the IFA, will join Rich Greenstein from DLA Piper, Carl Whistler from Grey Plant Moody in the UK, and somebody who's the head of CKE. No, not who you think. Not Andy Puzder. But Ned Lyerly will be part of that delegation going over to the UK representing U.S. franchising as well, along with a whole host of U.S. brands, including our good friends at the Dwyer Group and Wayback Burgers, amongst others that will be exhibiting and looking for new franchisees in the UK. Closer to home, and speaking of CKE and Andy Puzder, if you didn't see yesterday's IFA Insider, go back and click on the live link in the Insider and join the thousands of business groups and individuals that have been showing their support for Andy Puzder as Labor Secretary. There's a pre-drafted letter, so many times we ask for Franchise Today listeners to participate and help IFA in their grassroots efforts to help members of Congress know where we stand on certain things that are important to franchising. IFA is looking to help back Andy Puzder for that Secretary of Labor position, and by simply templating a letter, putting your zip code for your home address and your name, the letter is already there, and it'll go to your members of Congress or senators on your behalf in the name of IFA's efforts. So please, please help us put a friendly face into the Trump cabinet, who understands the perils of NLRB and joint employer and all the other things that could be existential threats to franchising. On a sad note, Paul, Little Caesars founder Mike Ilitch passed away this past week at 87 years old. a longtime IFA member and business icon, not just known to us in franchising, but he was also the owner of the Major League Baseball Detroit Tigers and NHL's Detroit Red Wings. Our heartfelt sympathies go out to the entire Ilitch family on their loss.
Yeah,
and beyond
absolutely.
That, Paul, I think I'm not going to try to hit you with anything else because I know you want to pop the clutch on that. You just can't make it a piece that you want to share with us.
Yeah, and as we know, from time to time and as opportunities present themselves, we do that feature here on Franchise Today. And, of course, we lovingly refer to that as you just can't make this up. Basically, it has to do with something outlandishly funny or at times alarming, sometimes a combination of the two, that has occurred within the world of franchising. And a while back we did, I think it was the last time we did it, Stan, we brought to everyone's attention KFC's new suntan lotion that smelled like fried chicken. Well, Stan, we have another one today. And this was in yesterday's USA Today with the title, Why Should Kids Get All the Toys? So just in time for Valentine's Day, Burger King in Israel offered something very special for customers 18 years and over, a curated meal box that came with, get this, Stan, an adult toy. That's right, after 6 p.m. on February 14th, the Whopper chain sold a Valentine's Day adult meal, which included two Whoppers, two packs of French fries, two beers, and a romantic adult toy. According to Adweek, the box contained either a satin mask blindfold, a feather duster, or a scalp massager. This was certainly a lot different, Stan, than Waffle House, who also steamed things up with a unique candlelit dinner for couples, but instead of sex toys, they served up heart-shaped waffles, Sprite and champagne flutes, and even featured roving violinists at several locations to bring on the fast food Romans. Stan, you're right. You just can't make this up.
I can't figure out which one in my mind's eye creates a meaner picture either, Paul.
Yeah, I think enough said, and let's move on. Dan White, the CEO and founder of Growler USA, was quoted as saying, our commitment to the independent brewers goes beyond just serving great beer and is articulated in our true-to-the-brew philosophy that ensures each beverage is conditioned, held, and dispensed as fresh and spirited as it was intended. Dan, welcome to Franchise Today.
Stan, Paul, thank you, gentlemen, for having me on. It's my pleasure to be here, my honor. Look forward to having a great conversation with you guys.
Well, we look forward to it as well. And talking about great, I think we have to put that into context when we look at the great movement of Growler USA since popping up on the scene not all that long ago. But before we get to that, I'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, Dan White, the man, Dan White, the individual that had been in franchising before, and then, of course, seeing an opportunity present itself and where you are today with Growler USA.
Well, thanks, Paul. Dan White, the man, is kind of a simple guy. Work hard at what I do. I love the gift of vision. I don't know if it's always a blessing or a curse. Growler USA is my fifth chain of stores that I've been founded, three of which were franchise organizations. My experience in franchising, especially with my first franchise organization, which was Rapid Refill Inc., was an amazing experience. I think you know that we grew from 1 to 100 stores in less than a year. It was kind of strap on your seatbelt time. Well, it's happening again. For me, I enjoy the ride. I get up every morning with new enthusiasm and excitement about tackling what I see as three elements of what we do, franchising, beer, and food. So it's an exciting time. I think, as you know, as a human being, I split my time between Colorado and Kailua Kona, Hawaii. I'm a little homesick today with the temperatures here in Colorado. I'm ready to go back to Kona. I'm also very dedicated and do a great deal of traveling and visiting with the franchisees.
So for a guy who, in most cases, when we talk to franchise professionals, we don't have the privilege of necessarily speaking with founders of concepts that have had success not just once, but multiple times in their life. And it's usually interesting to hear how their lives and franchising intersected. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yours and how, you know, what you've done with Rapid Refill is as about diametrically as far away as you can get from a growler and beer, but something in both those cases caused you to see franchising as the way to grow. So help us understand about you and franchising and how that happened.
Early on in my career, I was involved in a piece of technology, and that technology grew into FranConnect. So I was exposed to the franchise community, saw what it did for companies that wanted to grow, but more importantly, saw what it did for the entrepreneur, the person that may not be able to just take a whiteboard and come up with an idea of and say, okay, I'm going to put all my chips on the table and go with it. For me, I've been a serial entrepreneur all my life. I started my first chain of stores right out of college, and that was a chain of pet shops in the California area. Didn't franchise that, but then I did another chain of stores in the New York, New Jersey area, which was video stores, and that ended up with 28 video stores, and that was a interesting chain. When it came to Rapid Refill, Inc., I had been exposed to franchising. I'd been to several of the IFA events, gotten to know the folks at IFA and appreciate and support their efforts. My good buddy and attorney, Lee Plave, has always been kind of my right-hand man as far as guiding me and directing me. And when we started Rapid Refill, it was kind of with the concept of let's do some good for the environment. Next thing I know, I was on the phone with Lee saying, I think that this model should be everywhere, because if we can do a little bit for the environment out of Eugene, Oregon, think what we could do nationwide. So it quickly got into my blood, the franchising. The company skyrocketed. Fast forward to Growler USA. There was never a question when I got involved in Growler USA in my heart that if we were going to grow the company, that it would be through franchising. So when we first got in, the model was Model A. I think we're on Model M right now. We've migrated and modified and developed the model. It's come a long way from what we originally saw in the craft beer industry. And we now have restaurants that have over 200 seats in them.
We're going to talk more about the brand in a minute, but I'm curious as to how your vision, what was it about the time and your prior experience that kind of brought all that into focus for you to even get to brand A or to version A? What made you see franchising and the growler as something that was on the horizon that you could grow and take your past experience and turn into a successful franchise organization?
As an entrepreneur, you know, you listen, you pay attention, you see markets develop. I watched the craft beer market, and I'm watching it on a daily basis develop out of someone's garage or Uncle Goober's barn in brewing craft beer to what is quickly becoming an international standalone industry. So as an entrepreneur, you know, I saw this and said, you know, I don't want to be in, I don't want to have a brewery because, you know, that means I'd have to know how to brew something, which I don't. But I also, with my retail background, put together the concept that you could offer this product that was has legs of its own, not just walking, but running, now approaching 20 years of double-digit growth increase. Somehow there was a model there that could be replicatable to go into the franchise community. So when we got involved, we saw that, said we're going to take advantage and we're going to use craft beer as our core product. From there, the vision kind of unfolded, and it unfolded again. We spent about a year and a half working very hard on the vision till we got to the point where the systems, the operations, the product, the presentation, and the decor all fit the model of franchising. We focused on local and regional American handcrafted beverages only, which where it came to the term, as Paul mentioned earlier, true to the brew. Growler USA serves only handcrafted beverages. So with all that, the model for me as far as franchising was crystal clear. I wanted to grow the business. I see the opportunity, the growth. When you see an industry growing at double digits for 20 years, there is a growth there. You need to latch on to that rising star. Franchising, our element, our contribution to craft beer was simple for me. It was an easy way to go. I think that the craft beer movement has stirred in people that they love the atmosphere of cheers. They all see themselves as Sam Malone behind the bar and greeting their community. And those are the kind of people that we have attracted into our franchise system.
So, Dan, looking at it from the perspective of the consumer, obviously there are craft beer pubs. Maybe they don't use or serve, you know, just craft beer, because I've been in some of them and actually see some of the more traditional American name brands there, which is always kind of disappointing to me. So I love the fact that Growler USA is exclusive to, you know, craft beers. But it bring us a little bit of perspective of what the consumer sees as they walk in, and I'd really like you to share some of what you did as a founder, having never been in food service or, you know, obviously craft beer, and how you've actually handpicked just about everything in the locations to really enhance that consumer experience.
You know, Paul, I met with a group of CEOs, and one of the early on years ago, one of the conversations I had in that meeting was, you know, when it comes to the design and the decor, you can hire a designer and you're going to get what they want. You can do it yourself and you're going to get what you like. So I took on a project that I had never attempted before, which was design a pub. And I've traveled extensively in my life. I've seen pubs of all size, shapes, all over the world. Not that I want to say I've been hanging out in bars all my life, but there's, you know, pubs are interesting. And they, the pubs all have a personality. And so the challenge for me was, how can I take that pub personality and replicate it? The true definition of pub is a public gathering place. And as you look at the history of pubs, throughout the world, and we redefined a American microbrew pub. Pubs were used for political meetings. They were used for the doctor was often found close to the pub and for medical attention. There were legal events there. I even read one account of where there was a person was found guilty and hung out behind the pub. So, you know, they have colorful history. So how do you take all that and you roll it up into one? For me, I stepped back And I looked and thought about not me, because I tried to take me out of the equation and look at who the actual market was for craft beer, for trendy foods. And as we look at that consumer profile, I see an environment that is very much about beer. So if I can just walk you through a little vision here. When you open the front door of Growler USA, you can't help but first notice a beautiful bar, which the bar top is, and I think you guys understand my passion for the environment and recycling. The bar top is made from upscale or upcycled plywood parts by an artist, Steve Lauer, out of Tacoma, Washington. And I met Steve at an art show, and he agreed to do our bar tops. So no two of our bar tops are the same, but they're made of reclaimed plywood parts. The behind, when you look behind that bar top, you will see some beautiful white granite, a strip of oak that goes the entire 40 feet of the bar. That strip of oak has 101 tap handles sticking out of it. Above that is a mirror that goes the same length, so that people see, the first thing they see is a room or a line of tap handles from the different breweries, different styles of beer, that emphasize that they are basically in the Disneyland of craft beer, because with over 100 styles of handcrafted beverages. We have open seating. The tables are also an incredible find. They are made of 100% bamboo, which is now the most sustainable building product in the world. So the tables are gorgeous. They're all bamboo, solid bamboo. The decor is a little bit less than what you might say your typical franchise organization is, because we want that community environment. So we encourage the franchisees to put their personality into it. If they're into bicycling, you know, put photographs of the community bicycling, whatever they happen to be into. If there's a sports team in the community and the clientele is likely to support that sports team, we want to make that part of the decor package as well. So the environment that's been created is one that also enhances what we call the craft beer experience, where you can come in, enjoy handcrafted beverages, have some food that is a chef-driven menu, and it stays with, if not ahead of, the trends that craft beer is driving food right now. And it's a family-friendly environment as well. And in most cases, you can bring your dog. So I think the ultimate goal for me was to develop an atmosphere that people could really come in, relax, communicate. We do have televisions. We don't call ourselves a sports bar. If there's an event on, whether it be sports or some other event, it'll be on the televisions. It's driven by the community, or the people that are in the pub, whatever they want to be watching or listening to at the time.
And Dan, along the line, and certainly I appreciate what you're saying, having been in some of the Growler USAs, the tables and the bar top is just absolutely magnificent, as well as almost overwhelming, 101, you know, taps running the tap handles, running the width of the establishment. Take us one more step further on the true to brew philosophy of how the beer is, each beverage is conditioned and dispensed, because there's something very, very unique behind the wall of tap handles.
There is indeed, Paul. Micromatic, which is our tap equipment vendor, has made the comment to our VP of operations, Ron Kernut, that it is one of the most sophisticated use of beer delivery equipment that they've ever seen. We take it very seriously to be true to the brew. So if a brewery says that their IPA should be delivered at an 18 pounds of pressure, then we actually have a regulator on every keg that will deliver the beer to the tap at what will be the optimal pressure. We keep the beer at the perfect temperature, right around 37, 38 degrees. We use 11 styles of glassware to further enhance the craft beer experience, because every style of beer, whether it's a stout or an IPA, should go in a glass that would give you the ultimate experience. The glasses are chilled right when the bartender picks them up, and so when the beer hits the glass further, it's at the exact same temperature that the cooler is, so that the beer doesn't take a shock by going into a glass that's too cold or too warm. So yes, you guys are talking to me, but you know that there's a great team of people behind me, and we wouldn't be here without that team of people. Thought through, we discussed it with breweries, we discussed it with equipment manufacturers, and we've ended up where we are, which we believe that if somebody wants a perfect craft beer experience beyond going to the craft brewery, they have it at Growler USA.
You know, Stan, having spent some time in a couple of Growler USAs, this, I call it a utilidor because that's what it looks like, the cooler behind these 101 taps with all these kegs and all this sophisticated tubing that's going into place based on the pressure, that pressure regulation that Dan was talking about, and then also a system up above where nobody really has to lift any kegs. And having been in the sports bar business, I know that's certainly a workman's comp claim waiting to happen when you have somebody throwing around kegs. So it's really done with absolute efficiency, and really is it's really a pleasure to look at and marvel at the amount of detail that's gone into it, even behind the scenes.
Well, I can't wait to be someplace where I can enjoy the same experience, Paul, and I'm sure as we're going to get into talking about the franchise side of the business after the half break, we're going to learn a little bit more about where these Growler USAs are now and where they're going to be sooner than later. This is Franchise Today. I'm Stan Friedman, along with Paul Segreto, talking with Growler USA franchising CEO Dan White. Franchise Today is brought to you by the Franchise Foundry, where their team of professionals has been bringing emerging brands to market for more than 30 years with healthy, sustainable growth, the kind of growth that comes from experience. The Franchise Foundry provides their clients with both coaching and consulting, a hybrid approach that fosters more effective solutions for the franchisor's team as well as for their franchisees. The Franchise Foundry is rich in practical, hands-on experience and expertise in general business management, operational, and change management, and is both skilled and proficient in digital marketing, franchise recruitment, and development. The Foundry team can also assist with creating roadmaps for potential mergers and acquisitions and providing the guidance needed to navigate them. Learn more about Paul Segreto and the Franchise Foundry, along with their expanding list of clients, at www.franchisefoundry.com. Franchise Today also brought to you by FRM Solutions, offering best-in-class CRM and document management software designed specifically for franchising. FRM, built exclusively for franchising, enables you to manage and store text messages as well as emails. FRM also enables simple collaborative communication between you and your prospective and existing franchisees. Make today the day you give FRM a look and get 2017 started, assured that all of your candidate and franchisee correspondence, including texts sent to and received by anyone on your team, are being permanently tracked and stored in franchise and candidate records. FRM also provides a state-of-the-art digital experience for your prospective franchisees as they learn more about your brands, and it's an experience unlike anything ever before seen in old virtual brochures. No long-term contracts, no excuses, just solutions. FRM, find them on the web at frmsolutions.com. So we got to hear an awful lot of anecdotal and even Paul's personal experience about what it's like to to experience being at the Growler USA. Let's talk a little bit more about who it is that is successful in franchising. As a Growler franchisee, are you coming with past documented restaurant experience, or are your opportunities perhaps available too for someone starting up that has limited or no prior restaurant experience?
I think we're collecting a bit of both. It would lean towards the professional person that's just looking to take retirement and move on to do something of their own, that has never been in business for themselves. So our systems are fairly simple to use. Our training is sophisticated and detailed. So it's designed for the person that has never even had a paper route, and all of a sudden they want to be a pub operator. It is also set up terrifically for a semi-absentee owner or a multi-unit operator. Our first franchise opening was in Charlotte, North Carolina, and that franchisee, Matt Coben, is in process of building out his second location. In Gastonia, North Carolina. So it's a bit over the map. We do encourage people to attend every second of the training, because there's a lot to the kitchen. I struggle back in the kitchen myself, because it's right when you think you've got it, 25 orders show up at the same time, and it's a scramble. And I have in the past had trouble boiling water that quickly. So it's an interesting dynamic. Restaurants are demanding. But at the same time, the team of people here at Growler USA have put together systems and operations that lend themselves to having a complex but simple to operate pub. What we do here and what my personal commitment is to each and every franchisee to make sure that they have the tools they need to be successful, whether it's how to flip a hamburger or how to take care of their accounting. So when we bring people on board, I mean, they're from all walks of life. We've got a guy in Honolulu that was the manager of Coca-Cola distribution over there. We have a fella down in Arizona who is an ESPN videographer. He sent me a picture a couple years ago videoing the Seahawks Super Bowl game. So we have people from all over. And we encourage that because we do believe that our system, the market itself, the business opportunity lends itself to anyone who is open to learning and able to just through their own personality and their desire to be a part of their community, be successful with the Growler USA.
You know, Dan, I chuckled when you said about how the kitchen can get a little bit precarious at times when 25 orders comes in, because I remember, as I said earlier, having been in the sports bar business, I walked in one Sunday afternoon knowing at the time that there was a big game between the Patriots and the Colts, Brady versus Manning at the time, that was going to be only on the NFL Network. And at that time, not many people subscribed to it in their homes. So knowing we would be a little busy that day, I put on a couple of extra people. And when I walked in about 45 minutes before game time, it was wall-to-wall people. And I often say I thank God the fire marshal didn't come around that day, and when I went into the kitchen, my cook was there, and we had the screen up that showed six orders, but there was also 25 more screens of six orders behind them, and here he was flipping one burger at a time, and I literally threw him out of the kitchen, and I learned how to cook over the next 2.5 hours. And I'll tell you, that was an experience. So I definitely had a chuckle and share that. I am just so happy I did not have to clean up the kitchen after my 2.5 hours as chief cook and bottle washer. So anyway, I had to add that because it was a funny experience. But all walks of life. I mean, I think it's great, you know, seeing people enter into the food business, into the restaurant and pub business, utilizing their own, you know, personal experiences. And certainly that couldn't occur without very detailed operational systems in place. How many people, though, you know, aren't aware of what a growler even is, Dan? I mean, we hear, you know, craft beer. A lot of people don't know about growler, and I imagine there, you know, where growlers came about, I imagine there's got to be some states that kind of frown upon, you know, growlers being filled. If you can kind of give us that type of perspective and how that works into franchising, where franchising is something that gets replicated across state lines from coast to coast and border to border.
Well, you're right, Paul. The term growler is somewhat resurfacing. As we know that historically, in the late 1800s, there were hundreds of pubs all over the country, all over the United States, and they all actually brewed their own ale or beer right there. So the term growler actually came from a growler back then was a bucket, a small bucket, and to fill that bucket was often a dime. If you only had a nickel, the bucket only got filled halfway, so the consumer would be growling at the bartender to try to get him to fill it to the top. So
didn't know that.
Fast forward a little bit, we have a little bit nicer growlers today. We have growlers that are stainless steel, made of glass. But a growler is basically a container anywhere from 32 to 128 ounces. And it can be any type of container. I've seen some pretty interesting ones that brought a chuckle to me. And often they're covered with advertising and so forth for the beer brand. We welcome all containers people want to bring in to fill in that nature. So a growler is simply, in most cases, a 64-ounce glass vessel that can be sealed so that someone can, by using the craft delivery system, we are virtually delivering beer to the consumer in a manner as fresh as they can get it anywhere, even at the brewery. Because all beer gets kegged anyways, so if you're drinking beer at the brewery, you're drinking it by keg as well. So you now have the opportunity to take a growler or a container of that fresh, handcrafted beverages home with you. You're right, it's not been addressed and made legal in all states yet, so the term growler is still surfacing to people. It is fun. I ran a promotion the other day, and I happened to be behind the bar in one of the pubs, and we had a $10 growler fill. People were walking in with 6 to 12 growlers because they love having that in their refrigerator. And the growler sealed in the refrigerator will last about a month. And I remember when I filled my first growler and I handed it to someone and I said, "You know, once you open this, it's only going to be good for about a week." And the guy just looked at me and smiled and said, "I'll see you tomorrow, brother." So it's a terrific way to drink beer. It's a terrific way to take it with you and share it with for dinner or whatever you might be doing at home. Parties. Super Bowl events, of course, growlers fly off the shelves where they are legal.
So I've got some curiosities that I want to ask about because I'm sitting here listening to our conversation, and at the same time I'm in front of Yelp on my laptop and finding that you know, you've got an impressive record as Yelp would record it, in that almost every one of the reviews I see are 4 and 5 stars, a couple of threes here and there, but mostly 4s and 5s. And you don't find that all too often when you've got a large number of reviews that they're all on the high end like that, unless there's really something good going on at the place that's being reviewed. With locations spread from the East Coast all the way to Hawaii, with a combination of experienced and lesser experienced operators, you must have some incredible training and operational support mechanisms in place to keep that consistency of experience going. Tell us a little bit about what a franchise prospect coming into your family is going to expect and learn as they go through their initial training.
Well, first thing they're going to learn is, of course, how to set up a business. We walk them through that, how to set up bookkeeping. We have a terrific relationship with one of the IFA partners into it to set up bookkeeping for people on the other end, on their side. They're going to learn about the front of the house, which we call the welcoming, the actual restaurant part of the house or where the consumer will be, how to pick, how to train employees. They'll learn about the back of the house, how to order foods, how to store foods. We put together our menus so that the ingredients are cross-used so that we get the maximum use out of any particular ingredient. I mean, right now, if we just took a chicken breast and talked for 2 minutes, the three of us could probably come up with 40 recipes you could use a chicken breast for. And there's those kind of things that make the pub run smoother. In the world of beer, there is a training called Cicerone training. It's quite like training as a sommelier with wine. So beer training, this Cicerone training, has three levels. It's not an easy set of training. The person takes it online. We require all employees who wear a Growler USA shirt to have at least level one Cicerone training. So when they come in, the consumer comes in and they say, well, geez, this is my first time. I want a beer that tastes like the ones that the Budweiser's or the Clydesdales deliver. The employee will have knowledge of the flavors, the taste, the styles of the beers. We also encourage, once they're in operation, to have terrific relationships with the microbreweries, because the microbreweries and Growler USA share that customer. When we deliver their beer, that's our mutual customer. We want to deliver it, by the way, they want to see it delivered. We invite the microbreweries in at least once a week to do what we call a tap takeover, which is not only educating our staff, but the consumer. We feature two or three beers during a tap takeover, and the brewery will send out a representative to describe how those beers were made, what their brewing style is, sometimes equipment's, and what's on the horizon for that brewery for the future. So the education for Growler USA is ongoing because this is a very dynamic industry. You don't have 20 years of double-digit growth increase, and now almost 6,000 microbreweries will be open by the end of next year with over 100,000 styles of handcrafted beverages. And not be a dynamic industry that you have to stay up on and you have to stay aware of. We encourage that. We train to that. The food process is the same because you have the quote term foodies. And I don't know, I think I've always been a foodie. I'll eat anything. But I think the reality is the true foodie knows what they like and what they want. And we follow that trends. While we have standard American fare with the amazing all-American hamburgers, chicken wings. We also do a sushi ahi dish. So we're trying to make the experience in the pub great for all who come in. So the franchisees get exposure to that. Their training is on very sophisticated, very detailed levels. We encourage when they come to training that they bring as many of their staff as they can possibly make it here. We also open up our training to any training session to all franchisees in the future if they have personnel changes or so forth and there's a spot open in any of the trainings, they're welcome to be there. To preface our training classes, we've recently started a two-day kind of a get-to-know Growler USA orientation. The orientation is quite detailed. By the time they get done with that, they understand what's in front of them, how the system works, who they should talk to here on any given subject, there is someone here at Growler USA that a franchisee can reach out to and get answers to any questions they might have, whether they're food, beer, or accounting questions.
Wow, I'm sitting here just, I'm impressed as can be at the, number one, the passion that you exhibit for the experience that you're providing for your customers. You hit me right between the ears with chicken wings. You don't know it, but I'm the chairman of the National Buffalo Wing Hall of Flame, and you probably didn't even know such a thing existed, but it does. I read about 59-cent wings at your grand opening in Tallahassee yesterday, which to me is an incredible feat. In the prime of season, you know, to be selling wings at 59 cents a piece is it's quite a loss leader, I would guess, but I'm sure that once people come in and experience the product, they're coming back, even if it was a dollar a wing. I'm curious about distribution a little bit, too, in terms of your broad expanse of coverage from Hawaii all the way to the East Coast of the U.S. Is distribution a problem, and how much of the groceries that are delivered to your franchisees are coming off of a single truck versus a multitude of suppliers?
So, Stan, I appreciate you bringing up the grand opening in Tallahassee. Over the next few weeks, we'll also be enjoying grand openings in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Rogers, which is right near Bentonville, Arkansas, and Omaha, Nebraska. In fact, I'll be at the Omaha, Nebraska grand opening. So if any of our viewers would like to come meet and chat with me about franchising or about business in general, I will be in Omaha, and that will be announced on our website. Beer distribution goes by some both state and federal laws. Some of the laws go back to prohibition. We still do have blue laws on the books in the United States that pertain to alcohol. The craft beer industry seems to be breaking down some of the barriers. I recently met with the founder of Oscar Blues, and he is telling me now that he has distribution in all 50 states. Kona Brewing out of Kailua Kona, Hawaii, my favorite place, by the way, has now got distribution in all 50 states. Both of those guys have now reached out with a company called Craft Can Travel and are selling craft beer by can internationally. It can't be shipped by keg yet internationally. We're hoping that that happens in the future because of some possibilities and doors that will open. Food is we have a terrific relationship with U.S. Foods. We have a list of items there. We also encourage the franchisees, if there are local fruits and vegetables or even meats that can be through an approved vendor, we would encourage that as well, as long as that's been approved by us. So we try to keep it fresh. We try to keep it moving. One of the things we do on our menu, we do not have a static menu. The menu is driven by the market. As you know, if you've ever been to Hawaii, rice is a staple. There's a rice cooker in Hawaii that goes all night. Practically every dish goes out with rice on it. Opening up in Omaha, Nebraska is the home of the Reuben sandwich. So our chef team here, our culinary team, came up with the Reuben, which is our version of the Reuben sandwich. And it's the Growler USA signature Reuben sandwich. And I got to tell you guys, it's delicious. And they did a terrific job on it. I'm not going to tell you about it, but I'm going to tell you when you're in Growler USA, give it a try because it's something you're going to remember. So distribution is opening up. In the future, we hope to be able to do nationwide marketing programs with a specific brewery, maybe somebody like Oscar Brews, Blues, that where we feature their beers in all of our pubs simultaneously.
Wow, that would really be a tremendous achievement and definitely an advancement in the industry. Hey Dan, let's as we come down the stretch now towards the end of the show, and as I said earlier, you know, this would be a quick conversation of probably 50 or so minutes, and it's amazing how fast it goes by. Let's get back a second on the franchise side, because I know there's been some changes to the franchise model, and especially with respect to real estate in some of the markets. Tell us a little bit about, you know, the site selection process and how real estate costs have affected some of the franchise development efforts.
Yeah, as all franchisors are experiencing right now, commercial real estate seems to be at an all-time high, but along with that is also the demand for franchises. So we're balancing that out. We brought on board a real estate professional, Brendan Charles, and Brendan has opened up several hundred locations for multiple brands. And while he visits the sites, he looks at them. We have a several different real estate companies that bring us site locations when we've landed a franchisee in a certain area. We're quite selective about it because we want to have the right location for that franchisee that maximizes their exposure and opportunity. Growler USA is a bit of a destination location, so we don't necessarily also always have to be on the corner of First and Main. And we're finding that when we have locations that have good parking, reasonable access, to your point earlier, most of our grand openings require crowd control. So people do find us wherever we are. It is a challenge. Commercial real estate right now is a challenge. Construction is a challenge. I mean, here in the Denver area, I look out the window and nearly every day there's a new building that just hits the horizon. And as I travel across the United States, I see growth and development in almost every community. It's exciting. It's great for the economy in general. It's putting a lot of people to work. And I think acknowledging about, you know, what's to take place here in the White House, we do need someone that understands the fact that how many people franchising does employ across this country. It's a kind of a package deal. It's difficult, but I will tell you that we won't jump at something. I have a franchisee that I thought was just going to wring my neck because he first location, I told him no, absolutely no. The second location, I said I wouldn't do it. On the third location, he called my partner, Dave Shaw, the president of the company, and asked him if he would go look at the location. So it's difficult, but at the same time, it's imperative that we help and guide the franchisees to good decisions, not only in the location, but the build-out and all their decision processes as they become potentially a first-time entrepreneur. I've always told anyone who walks through this door, one, we have an open door policy, that if you have questions about business and you're talking to a man that has 50 years business experience, if you don't ask those questions, shame on you, because we have a terrific team of people here and there's just about nothing that they can bring up that surprises us or that we don't have resources for. So it does start with the real estate, and then it goes through the build-out process, the fixtures and equipment, but then it ends up in the hands of our marketing team who do just an outstanding job. Mike Brannigan, our VP of marketing, has a terrific history of being able to bring exposure to individual locations and filling those locations with people. And then it's the brand moving forward. We have a marketing committee that works with the brand fund and is out there making decisions to help support the franchisees in every market. So it's a package deal. You know, being from Hawaii, guys, there's a term in Hawaii called ohana. Ohana is circle of trusted or loved ones or family. We try to run Growler USA as an ohana. We see this as we are all in this together. When I put on my Growler USA shirt in the morning, or a young waitress puts on her Growler USA shirt in the morning, we're on the same team with the same goal to do what's best for the brand and for the consumer every day. Every action, every transaction that gets rung up in the point of sale system is designed to give the consumer the best experience.
Yeah, certainly, you know, having such a high set of standards all the way from real estate through to operations is certainly the reason why Growler USA is on tap for craft beer franchise success. Dan, tell the audience real quick as we're getting ready to wind up, you know, how they could learn more about Growler USA franchise opportunity.
Well, of course, the simplest is to go to the website, growlerusa.com. There is a franchise key there, and that will end them up with Brenda Elpers, who is our VP of New Business Development, and they will get – they'll go through a process, and they will learn quite a bit before they are even really in a position to be poised to make a decision about Growler USA. It's important that they understand what they're getting into. We are selective about our franchisees. We want to have all comers come and talk with us. And then I sit down with each prospect and make sure that this is what they really want to do. So growlerusa.com is a terrific resource. They can call our headquarters, ask for Miss Brenda Elpers. Our headquarters phone number is 720-465-6670. That's in Centennial, Colorado. If they happen to be in the area of the Denver area in Centennial, they can call us, and we'd be happy to buy them a beer over at the – we have a pub here in Centennial, which is now a corporate-owned store. It's kind of our flagship store. We're proud of it and always happy to show it off and welcome guests, both Growler USA franchisees, prospective franchisees, but anyone who's in the franchising community. We'd love to hear from you if you're in the Denver area. So growlerusa.com, give us a call at that 720-465-6670 number, and there will be somebody available to walk you through, talk with you, and help you find the same passion for Growler USA and understand franchising, because we want you to understand what you're getting into as you get into it.
Dan, I really appreciate it, and I really want to kudos for your continued success. I'm sure that there's going to be even more, as Growler USA is already one of the country's fastest-growing brands, and I'm sure explosive growth as forecast is in the foreseeable future. Thanks again for being our guest today.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. It's actually been a terrific time to spend with you. I appreciate it, and anytime you'd like to have me back, feel free to give me a call.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Aloha. Well, Stan, wrapping up another great show on Franchise Today. I mean, we have really seen some brands of late that have been under a lot of people's radar. Starting several weeks back, Pizza Factory out on the western states. We had Romp and Roll out of East Tennessee, Growler USA. It's really been a great run, Stan. Thank you.
Hey, it's always fun, Paul, to just continue to learn more and more about those in our world whose stories have, as you've said, flown under radar and bring them into the light of day. Great passion from Dan today and learning all about how Growler USA is on the march and operating on both ends and working their way into the middle of the country.
Yep, absolutely. Next week we're going to take a little bit of a twist. We have Scott Schubiger of Z Partners, kind of a new private equity firm, working up some new deals that's going to bring us some more emerging brands. So that'll be an interesting show. Until then, my name is Paul Segretto, wishing you the best, the very best, in this great, great thing we call franchising. And Franchise Today is out.
Franchise Pros, Stan the Man, Paul Segretto, Badlands, baby. Franchising today. Sustainable growth through sensible franchising. Franchise today. Sustainable growth through sensible franchising. Franchise today. Franchise today.